Good morning. It is great to see you. Yeah, some of you don't know me other than what Charlie talks about me, and we'll get to that in a minute. But it's like, wow. Times, but I just want to set expectations if you don't know me. So Kelly and Charlie kind of have similar energy levels, and I don't. So if you're thinking that this is going to be high energy, a lot of jokes or things like that, please, it's not going to be like that. I'm a little bit more on the down low. So I just don't want you to be really disappointed. But some of you know me very well. I used to do a lot of speaking here. I was actually on staff at the church and led discipleship ministries, and so had a lot of opportunity. But now I'm back full-time at the hospital, so basically I only agree to speak on Mother's Day, and I try to get out of that every year too. But it was interesting. This is the seventh week of this series on Breakthrough. And during, you know, the first couple weeks, I'm like, okay. And then the longer we got into it, I'm like, yeah, but there's this one other piece. There's this one other piece we haven't talked about. And so then a few weeks ago when Charlie approached me about speaking, I go, oh, maybe that is God trying to tell me I'm supposed to share that one other piece. And so I prayed about it and agreed. And so here we are. So again, don't raise the bar too high. So and we'll make it through. I won't go long. That's one thing I promise you. I'll be with Charlie. He tells the story, but I did actually throw my watch at him while he was speaking. Only because I love all of you. But I think we've seen some overarching themes develop over the last 6 weeks of this series, and the first one being that we're all in need of breakthrough, that we're all carrying something, we all have a challenge, and as Stephen spoke to last week, oftentimes that challenge is hidden. We talk about the easy breakthroughs, you know, oh man, I just wish I didn't have this need for chocolate at 3:30 every afternoon, you know. Hey, community group, will you pray for me that I don't need to eat chocolate again, you know. Oh, okay, Sandy. But I kind of keep the one hidden that I know that really God wants me to stop doing. because wow, what would they may think of me, but whether it's spiritual, breakthrough, relational, physical, financial, we all face challenges. And then I think another theme is that Jesus is the source of our breakthrough. I think we have determined here at Church on the Ridge that Jesus is the source of our breakthrough, and that as our healer, our provider, our forgiver, our restorer, he is so willing and wants to break through, wants to see us break free from, and to pick us up, dust us off, and get us back on our feet to try again. But today I want to take just a little bit of a diversion, a little bit, not a full 90-degree turn, but maybe just a little bit and look a little differently, and I've titled it Breakthrough 2.0, and you'll probably see the pun in that coming up. Because we can consider all the things we need breakthrough from. And as Kelly said, Bill's story is so powerful. Actually, the other side of the story is here this morning, Karen. And Karen, wave your hand. People need to see you too. So Karen lived that story on the other side. And she has a powerful story too. And Bill and Karen are in my community group. And Karen's faith through that time and prayer for Bill is another powerful story for us to consider. But if you're like Bill and you have a chemical dependency that's keeping you in bondage, you may have a relationship that's breaking apart, you may struggle with depression or some other mental illness, you might see that your job isn't fulfilling you the way that you thought, somehow you need a breakthrough. We're all in need. And Scripture is so awesome because it demonstrates over and over again that God cares about the details of our lives. If you don't think God cares about the details of your life, your God is too small. That's not making God bigger, thinking, well, God's just so big, he's way up there, so he doesn't care about the details. No, you're making God smaller when you don't think he cares about the details. Let him be big in your life. And he has answers. He has provision. He offers protection and deliverance. But what I want to tell you this morning is that shouldn't be the end of our story. Our story of faith shouldn't end with how God breaks us free. Like I said before, you get to hear about me almost weekly, and I'm never quite sure what Charlie's going to say, to be honest. Sometimes I'm like, I'm not that great, and other times I'm like, I don't think I'm that bad, because I don't want to live with her. She sounds horrible. But anyway, one thing I hope that you'll see today is that I am just a human being. I have faults. I have failures. I get hurt. I feel lonely. I doubt myself. And I live in desperate need for God to intervene in my life. I need breakthrough in so many ways. But what I've discovered in my now very long journey of faith, I came to Jesus at a young, young age. And I'm not young any longer. Is that answered prayer will never complete me. Getting the answer to my prayer will never satisfy or fulfill me. And I'm not telling you to quit praying. I believe in prayer and firmly believe that God answers prayer, and his answers are worth pursuing. But if we only pursue answered prayer, we're missing God's destiny for our life. We are missing the fullness of life that he wants us to experience. Just a couple of weeks ago, it was just, you know how God puts things together and you just go, oh, that's crazy. Oh, a coincidence. And then you go, oh, maybe not a coincidence. Maybe that is God at work. So Charlie had asked me to speak and I had these thoughts ruminating in my head. And I do run much slower than I used to, and sometimes walk. And it was one of those Sunday afternoons where all of a sudden there was a break in the rain. And so I went on a long walk. And during that walk, if you ever see me and you think, oh, she's singing, she must have earbuds in, I don't wear earbuds. That's me talking to myself, sometimes praying, but oftentimes just talking, yelling, whatever. I scare people on the trails, you know, that kind of thing. And through that long walk, I know I was out there a couple of hours, but I basically came up with that outline for the talk today. And Alex and Rob and George, wow. Charlie had said you were here and I hadn't seen you. Welcome. That's awesome. And so I had come back in, and now I was sitting in front of my computer, and I was going to write down what I think God had given me as I was on this walk. And I received a text from someone that I work with, and it just fit beautifully. So she wrote, God gave me such a gut check today while I was worshiping in church. I heard him say, you asked me for this. And so now she's back to her voice. All the things I'm whining about, I'm tired, I'm stressed, the house is still a fixer-upper, the kids drive me bananas, etc. Now back to God. You had a point where you cried that you wouldn't get married or have kids, and I gave them to you. You felt frustrated you were always renting, and I gave you a home in a peaceful neighborhood. You prayed for influence and ability to have a mission field and not live an ordinary life, and I gave you a challenging job with tons of people to minister to and a boss that loves me. That's me. God went on, stop whining and live in joy and expectation. It was so awesome. My first response back was, hey, I'm writing my talk for in 2 weeks. Can I use this? and then I backed off a little bit and had a more appropriate response. And I said, I'm laughing out loud only because God has had the same message for me so many times. Now, all we have to do is hold each other accountable to trusting God and not ourselves. Maybe you feel a little bit like my friend. You've experienced breakthrough. You've experienced answered prayer. The first answered prayer would be forgiveness from our sins when we accept Christ into our lives, and yet it never seems to be quite enough. We never seem to be hitting that life that we think God promises us. We're missing something. So everybody raise your hand who feels like God has answered a prayer for you. How about more than one? Yeah. I think about everyone in the room. I won't make you raise your hand on this one. How many feel like you still need breakthrough? Today I'm here to tell you that there's more to lifelong fulfillment than answered prayer or breaking free from. God doesn't want us to stop with breaking free from, but he's wanting us to break through to. Break through to. See, breakthrough 2.0. Let's look at a familiar story in the Bible and see if we can unpack it a little bit and apply it to our life. In Luke 7, it says, Luke is describing Jesus' ministry here on earth, and it says, one of the Pharisees, and Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day in the Jewish community, and they were very rules-dominated and really didn't like Jesus because he was, boy, if people were going to follow him, it took away their power. So they didn't like him all that much. But one of them asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And so now don't think of a table with legs, but think of a table on the ground with cushions. So Jesus is kind of on his side there with his feet behind him, and behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that Jesus was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair, with the hair of her head. I'm glad it was the hair of her head. And kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Dear Jesus, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart would please you today. God, I pray that you would unfold your word to us in such a meaningful way today that we would get a new glimpse of you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing, weird story, right? It's like, well, that's odd. That kind of probably was very distracting to the conversation at the table. You know, put yourself there. Whoa, that would be really weird. So first I want to look at the who. Who was this woman? And though scripture never states her name in this passage, it's widely accepted that the woman in the story is Mary Magdalene. Now in the Bible, there's two different anointings of Jesus, so don't get them mixed up because there's one in John, and that's the anointing by Mary, another Mary. There were lots of Marys in Jesus' life, his mom, and then Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, who anointed him the week before his death, and then Mary Magdalene is another one. So very common name in Jesus' time. And this anointing occurred long before the second one. So Mary Magdalene was a woman who was a prostitute that Jesus had delivered seven demons out of her and now was a follower of Jesus. Luke speaks of Mary describing her in another passage where it says, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. There 12 were with him, the 12 disciples, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. And I could camp on Mary for a long time. Those of you who know me know that I can do that, but I'm not going to do it today because it annoys Charlie. And I think God has something different to say. But I want to go over a few things first. I don't want you to minimize her state. No little Jewish girl at that time ever wrote on their second grade paper, "What do I want to be when I grow up? A demonized prostitute." Right? This was not her aspiration in life. And for her to get to that point, I firmly believe she experienced profound trauma. She had gone through something to such severity that her life now was one of prostitution for existence. And she had allowed the absence of the spirit that God had placed in her at birth to leave, to allow demonic spirits to actually enter her body. Whoa. She had gone through a lot. Life had dealt her a bad hand. And yet, Jesus had delivered her from that trauma. Jesus had delivered her from that lifestyle. She now knew that she was forgiven, she was whole, and she was walking out her life journey. So she had broken free. And yet, she felt compelled to break through to Jesus and anoint him at the table. She knew that she needed to push through to Jesus regardless of what others thought about her. And this act can seem like no big deal, a little weird, but not that big of a deal. But it really was extraordinary when you think about the times and how a woman was looked at in this time. And pushing through that evening presented many challenges for Mary. It was written, Luke went on to say, "Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman that is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.'" She faced condemnation. She faced ridicule. She faced rejection and mockery. And she also faced putting Jesus in a bit of an awkward situation. And yet she pushed through. And I think those are some of the barriers we still feel today and stop us from pushing through to actually acknowledging that Jesus is Jesus. And he's worthy of our lives and of our praise. The question for us really is, are we willing to push through the challenges of possible rejection to publicly get close to Jesus? So we looked at the who, so now let's look at the what. What is this alabaster box, and what does it represent? And so alabaster was a semi-precious stone of the day, and it held a very costly perfume. It's estimated that the value of the perfume in this vial was about 300 denarii, which would represent a year's salary for a skilled worker. For a skilled laborer. So think of what you would think is an annual salary for a skilled worker, and this is what she broke at the feet of Jesus. So I believe that it represented her treasure. It was worth a lot of money. And I don't know, but I just think, and there's nothing in Scripture that backs this up. It's just me walking, running, coming up with things in my head. I wonder if her intention was truly to break the whole thing. Did she take her alabaster jar really to go break it at the feet of Jesus? Or was her original intent just to pour a little out on her finger and dab it on him? "I've anointed you." But when she came into the presence of Christ, she recognized that her treasure was worthless. the treasure that she held in the alabaster box, her true treasure was Jesus himself. And therefore she broke her treasure at his feet. No holding back. I think it also represented what she could have thought she deserved. Right? Here she had led this horrible life, and shouldn't she be able to hang on to one redeemable thing, this money, this security, because of the life that she, the trauma she had gone through, the life that she had led? And I also believe that it represents her backup plan. Just in case this whole Jesus thing doesn't work out, I've got a year's salary to get back on my feet and move in a different direction. So it represented these three things. We have treasures. It might be our house, our savings, our things. It might be our family. It might be position, prestige. Oftentimes for me, it's my plan. That's my treasure. I've got it all mapped out. The question for us is, are we willing to break our treasure and not just break off a little piece and give it to Jesus, but are we willing to break the whole thing, recognizing that he alone is our true treasure? We have things that we think we deserve. I like to call them cheats. Sometimes they're bad attitudes, lack of forgiveness, a little bit of bitterness. And we go, you know what? You don't know what I've gone through. Karen's story. You know what? She could have hung on to some bitterness, right? She could have said, you know, Jesus, that wasn't quite what I was buying into when I married Bill. So I'm going to forgive Bill, and I'm going to kind of quasi-love you, but you know what? I'm going to hang on to some bitterness here because that was a tough hand to be dealt. But are we willing to let go of what we think we deserve? For me, it's really hard not to have a backup plan. If this job doesn't work out, I know exactly what my backup plan is. For some of you, if your marriage doesn't work out, you have a backup plan. Are we willing to not have a backup plan when we follow Jesus? So we've looked at the who and we've looked at the what, and now I want to look at the where. Where did she break the alabaster box? And she broke it at the feet of Jesus. And so I want to look a little bit at where she didn't. So first, she didn't break it on his head. And again, culturally, what would have been expected was these were smelly times. I am so thankful. If you can't be thankful of anything today, if you can't think of anything to be thankful for, be thankful that you live today with showers and soap and deodorant and hot water and electricity, though I hear that historic Snoqualmie is out right now. So this was a smelly time. So the anointing usually was just on the head because that's where you were talking with someone so that the perfume would mask the smell of society and culture. It would have been appropriate for her to have just dabbed a little perfume on Jesus' head. When I think about the head, I think about the mind. I think about thoughts. And when I prayed about this, the significance I saw is that we often pray to know God's will. I need to know what your will is, God. Should I do this? Should I do that? And I'm a nurse, so I'm going to use a word maybe you haven't heard in a talk before in church. I think pursuing or trying to break through to the will of God can actually constipate our faith. It's like a pseudo-God, like a little g-God. We pursue knowing the will of God, but we don't pursue God. I believe, like I said before, that God cares about the details of our lives, and I'm not saying to quit asking what his will is, but I'm saying don't get stuck there. Don't let that be your final answer. In his book, Ruthless Trust, Brennan Manning tells the story of John Kavanaugh, who went to work for 3 months in the House of Dying with Mother Teresa in Calcutta, India. And he was seeking a clear answer as to how best to spend the rest of his life. And don't we all want to know that? How should I spend the rest of my life? Mine is more, where should I spend the rest of my life? You know, I have my little weather app on my phone. And so I have Florida, where Caleb lives, and it's looking pretty nice this week. And now I've added Hawaii, Kona, where Hannah's moving in a month. And I'm like, even better. And then there's Snoqualmie. Jesus, surely you have a plan to get me out of here, but no. What do you have for the rest of my life? And on his first morning there, Mother Teresa ran into him. Oh my goodness, that would be so amazing. And asked him, what can I do for you? And Kavanaugh asked her to pray for him. What do you want me to pray for? She asked, and he voiced the request that he had come all the way from the United States to India to find the answer to, pray that I have clarity. And she said firmly, no, I will not do that. Ooh, rebuked by Mother Teresa. That would be really a lot of humble. This isn't what I thought she was going to say. And when he asked her why, she said, clarity is the last thing you're clinging to and must let go of. We pursue the mind of Christ. And sometimes God is saying, that's the last thing you need to let go of. You don't need to know. She went on, or he went on and said, but she always seemed to have the clarity he longed for, and she laughed and said, I have never had clarity. And if you read her writings, you will understand how much she meant that statement, because she really struggled in her faith, living where she lived, ministering with the people that she ministered to, and trying to reconcile that with a loving God. She struggled. She said, I've never had clarity. What I've always had is trust. So I will pray that you trust God. If we pour our treasure, our backup plans, and what we think we deserve, thinking it will help us discover clarity, we eliminate the need to trust. And when we eliminate the need to trust, we eliminate relationship with God. Because relationship is built not on knowledge, it's built on trust. So she didn't pour it over his head, and she didn't pour it over his hands. And when I think of hands, I think of work, I think of action. And Jesus had already done a work in Mary's life. She didn't have to push through that day and break that box. She had her breakthrough, and yet she was compelled that she needed to continue. His work was evident in her life, but she knew that wasn't the end of her story. She knew that breakthrough from was not enough, and we must also know that we need to continue on and breakthrough to Christ. You see, a change in circumstance or answered prayer can actually also become a pseudo-God or an idol in Bible speak as well. We get so caught up with wanting Jesus to intervene in our lives that we miss Jesus, like Julie wrote in her text. Only Jesus can fulfill us. David, described as a man after God's own heart, wrote in Psalm 63, You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water, I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. Do you notice he didn't say, I will be fully satisfied with the richest of foods, but as with the richest of foods? David understood that the God's answers weren't going to be what satisfied him. Only God himself could do that. Only relationship with God himself. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I will remember you. David wasn't satisfied because God had answered his prayer. David was satisfied because God was God in his life. Instead of Jesus' head or his hands, she broke it at Jesus' feet. And when I think of feet, I think of, wow, I'm not very coordinated. Hugh knows footwork matters, right? Clay, footwork matters. Never going to be a quarterback here. Don't have it. I can do running one foot in front of the other, and sometimes I mess that up. She broke the alabaster box at his feet where he could trample all over her backup plan, where he could have ignored all that she had gone through, where he was in control and she was not. She broke her treasure at the feet of Jesus, knowing that if she was in step with Jesus, that the feet were significant. Because if she was in step with Jesus, his will would take care of itself. If she was in step with Jesus, his work would be evident in her life. And if she was in step with Jesus, her future was secure. Being in step with someone requires proximity, communication, and trust. Have you truly pushed through to Jesus? Or have you stagnated in your walk of faith, being satisfied with his will or his work? True life in Christ, I'm here today to say, push through. Push through to Jesus. He has so much more for you. He's not just a fortune teller or a genie in a bottle. He's God, and he loves you. And his arms are open to receive you. You want to push through to him. True life in Christ will come when our relationship, our in step with Jesus, develops to such a level that we trust him and not ourselves. So what are you holding on to today? Your backup plan, your treasure. Maybe you're holding on to not publicly talking about your faith. Maybe it's security. Maybe it's something you think you deserve. But when you step through to Jesus and let your life with him become one of trust, I guarantee you it will lead to hope. It will lead to happiness. It will lead to peace. Psalm 40, verse 4 says, happy is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. Don't be satisfied with breaking free from. God has more for you. I have lots of answered prayers in my life, and Rebecca's going to come up now. She's one of my answered prayers. Stephen's birthday is this week. He'll be 29. Oh my goodness, I told you I was old. And I've been praying for Stephen's wife, Rebecca, for over 29 years. So I believe in answered prayer. But she's going to sing a song, and while she does, I'd like you to put your phone down. I'd like you to put your notes down. I'd like you to close your eyes, and I'd like you to take the few minutes of this song to actually take the time and ask Jesus, is there something I need to break at your feet? And then take the time to not just get his answer, but to break through to him and recognize that he has so much for you. Take that step to get in step with him.
Thank you.
I think that if we are a community who wasn't content with the wisdom or the work of God, but truly broke through to be people who are willing to give all that we have and all that we are to Jesus, to publicly declare our love for him, we could change our community. I really think we could change our world. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for everyone here today. I thank you, Lord God, that you have so much more for us. And God, I pray that as we leave today, we wouldn't be content with your answers, with your knowledge. But Lord God, we would truly take a step to get in step with you, to get close to you, to understand you and who you are, that you are God and we're not, that we could truly understand that we can trust you and not have to trust ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love for us. In Jesus' name.